Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to It's Your Funeral, the podcast where we interview guests about the most important day of their afterlives. As ever, I'm here with the man with the best death facts I've ever heard. It's Sam Hammond, aka At Vom Cruz. How are you, Sam?
Fine, how are you?
Yeah, very well. This is our second recording of the evening, which tends to mean, we're either more excited or more drunk, or maybe those things are the same.
Yeah, definitely had one more beer.
That's good.
Yeah. Feeling pretty excited.
Do you find another beer makes you feel more deathly?
Well, it's just by virtue of what it is. Yeah, it is a step closer to the grave, isn't it? Every beer.
Your liver just slightly more yellow and jaundiced.
Yeah.
Guys, as always, we want to hear from you at home about any weird, funny, interesting death or funeral-based stories. If you've got any, please email us podit'syourfuneral@gmail.com. That's podit'syourfuneral@gmail.com. But on today's It's Your Funeral, our guest is virtuoso artist David Shillinglord. David, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for having
me. Hello, David.
No problem. David is an old friend of ours, a genius artist. First of all, David, tell the audience where they can see your stuff. It's very important that we plug our guests' work.
Anywhere. Yeah, I mean, online, obviously. But actually, tomorrow I have an exhibition that opens in London.
Online where?
Just my name, David Shillinglord. Shilling,
just like Google you.
Yeah, Google me or Instagram or MySpace or shit like that.
Don't think MySpace is still going,
it's
surely.
It's still going.
What?
Yeah.
Didn't Justin Timberlake buy it?
Yeah, I thought that happened.
I don't know.
He's wasted his money on that.
Well, what's your Instagram for a start?
David Shillinglaw.
It's just at David Shillinglaw.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
There's only one. So you're doing an exhibition at the moment, but this will no doubt go out after that.
Yeah.
But tell them about it anyway.
Yeah, it's called Rewilding and it's at Jealous Gallery and it's on during September.
But
I'm painting a mural at the same time,
yes,
which will definitely
saying.
Be there. And it's on the side of Zetland House, which is on Scrutton Street.
And so that's in the city of London, near
Old Street.
Yeah, near Old
Street. You have to just go and find it. It's huge.
Yeah.
Massive.
I think an important question to ask based on this podcast is about legacy, though. Because, you know, a lot of this stuff will still be there after you're gone, presumably.
Yeah, hope so.
That must be a good feeling.
Yeah, well, all art. I mean, the painting itself, like a little canvas, that's part of the attraction to it for me, and it's something that really exists in time and space, that it hangs on a wall, it's an object that can collect dust. And I feel like that's one of the things I love about my job, is that I'm making something that will exist after I'm dead. And I definitely think about it because I think about other artists that I love who are dead. A lot of my favorite artists are dead, and I'm looking at their work, and I look at pictures in their studio of them, and I think it's like sometimes any sort of artist, musician, even as soon as they die, it's suddenly that's it. The supply is over. Often the demand goes up because the supply is over, and you're left with this sort of crystallized career or life or body of work that you're like, that's it.
I have to get back onto the subject at hand, David. Before you tell us specifically about what you envisage for your own funeral, can we ask you what your funeral experience is yourself?
My funeral experience.
Yeah, like how many have you been to?
Not many.
Our last guest had been to 8 and I was pretty shocked. I was like, that's a lot of funerals for someone in their 30s, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, last year my mum passed away and she died very, very suddenly. So that experience, it was very traumatic. It still is. It's a year ago and it happened in front of me and it happened very unexpectedly.
Appalling.
So that experience of a funeral is by far like the most intense because I had to do a speech. I carried the coffin. My mum was not famous, but in her world she was.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So there were like 700 people. They couldn't even fit in the church. It was in a big church. It was like a celebrity funeral.
Yeah.
She worked in a theatre. So the after party, if you like,
the wake.
Was the wake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know why it's called a wake?
Sam likes to tell
you
me.
He taught David. Actually, told me this when I told him we were doing this podcast.
But
so
you've mentioned it.
Yeah, I mentioned it. Yeah, but yeah. Thank you, David, for that.
If you don't know, you're listening. You've got to go and listen to one of the.
No. You feel free. Tell the audience. Yeah.
Apparently, it's because people used to drink or poison themselves unknowingly because they ate and drank out of lead, and they would be unconscious for several days. So people used to lay them on a table and drink and party and dance around them, hoping to wake them
up. To check that they would.
And sometimes they would wake up after two or 3 days because lead poisoning. Yeah. There's stories of coffins being exhumed and there's scratch marks inside.
I'm back.
Let me out.
Can I ask a question? And feel free to, you know, tell me not to talk about this. But I wonder if, because you've talked about the funeral of your mum being so big and so many people, she was obviously a very special woman, huge, had so many friends, is that comforting that she was so loved, or to you on the day does it not make a difference because it's so difficult anyway?
Definitely comforting, but like compared to my grandma's funeral where there were like 40 people, right, it was a very intimate thing. And it was very personal,
many more than my grandma's funeral,
maybe even less than that. I didn't count. I'm just thinking it was a handful of people, and it was very close. My mum's, because like I said, she worked in a theatre, which is actually where she passed away. So that added even more intensity. She died on her retirement party at the theatre.
Yeah, this story is like, it's insane.
Yeah, it's kind of fitting for this podcast because it was actually her retirement. And because it was in a theatre, they did a surprise, This Is Your Life, you know, like the TV show. Yeah. Brought out the book and said, you know, and we all went in the auditorium. So it was like she was at her own wake because there were 200 people who were her favourite people, you know? People she hadn't seen for years, people she'd known since she was a teenager. She didn't even know I was going to be there. It was a surprise. Mm. And amazing that she got into it enough that my brother, my stepdad and I all did a speech. She got to kind of see everyone there, hug loads of people. Her grandchildren were like giving her cuddles and stuff. And it all happened very quickly. And it wasn't until at the hospital that we were told, oh, she's died. So actually it was just such a trip, you know, but to have the actual wake at the same theater.
Oh wow.
Because it was her place of work, and because organizing a funeral is a nightmare. You're already in trauma, but my experience of it was very traumatic, because there was no preparation. Sometimes people will obviously plan their funeral, or the family will know.
Young as well, you know.
Yeah, she was 66.
Yeah.
And very healthy as well, or so we thought. And that experience of the wake, because it was at the place of work, there were all the people, almost like it was, there were hundreds of people, and I started drinking, but you know when you're drinking you don't really get drunk. And it wasn't that I was crying a lot, but I didn't stop crying the whole day. It was like I had constant tears, and there were some funny moments. I saw people there who were my old school friends, who I haven't seen for maybe 10 years, so it was emotional for that. It was just like the biggest event of my life, other than maybe my child's birth, which actually, not to jump around, that happened like 6 weeks later or 2 months later. So my experience of both those things, which are the biggest things that have ever happened to me, my mum passing so suddenly and my baby being born. And right in the middle, I moved into a house. So pretty much the three biggest things that will ever happen to someone: buying a house, having a baby, and their parent dying.
Happened
in the space of 2 months. And I'm still kind of recovering from both of those things, you know.
You talk about it so eloquently, honestly.
Really?
Thank you so much for bringing it up. Neither Sam or I have ever had children, but do you feel like to some degree having your baby at that point kind of saved you a little bit?
Yes, because maybe it sounds cheesy or something, but I definitely see my mum in my daughter. We didn't know it was going to be a girl until I was the first person to see what gender it was.
And your daughter's name's Ziggy?
Ziggy Blue. Great my mum's maiden name was Blue.
Perfect.
And my mum knew, she'd felt the baby kick. She knew we were going to call it Ziggy. But they're two sides of the same coin, you know? It couldn't be more extreme opposite. So one kind of, not balances out the other, but definitely helps you navigate. It's like Ziggy, she's an antidepressant. You know, children and animals are. But there have been, maybe it triggered more emotion because, you know, seeing my baby with my partner's mum, that was hard. Yeah. Still is. I mean, honestly, I'm not exaggerating. Some of the things that I've experienced about both the agony and the ecstasy of losing my mum like that and having a baby, they are abstract. I can't tell you. It's like trying to talk about God or something. I'm not religious, but there have been moments in the last year where I've definitely questioned the fabric of reality. When my mum passed away, definitely, it was like I was on LSD. Like definitely the first 2 weeks, I couldn't have a conversation really in a shop. Like I was tripping. So grief is something that I never knew. I'd lost friends and my grandma died, but I didn't know grief. Grief is a very intense trip. And I would say it's stronger than any drug I've ever taken. There were moments when I doubted reality.
Yeah.
It's bigger than words. It's bigger than anything.
Yeah. I have to say, obviously I don't know your mum and I don't even know you that well. I know you a bit, but it's a very clear, very impressive, I think, the way that you've been brought up by your mum, to be able to speak about this in such a way that you are talking openly. And as you're a man, and as men, we find it often difficult to talk openly about emotional times, how we feel about things, but you talk about it so eloquently and are able to explain very visually, I find, those feelings that you're having, and those putting it in analogies of a trip and LSD and stuff like that enables, I think, me and Sam and the audience probably to understand a lot of what you were going through. And I think that's very impressive and probably a great deal down to your mum. So
she was tough.
Yeah, very difficult, very difficult. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I do have to, I'm afraid, bring it back to about your funeral now, David. So thank you so much for coming on the show. We mentioned a bit off air before, you are one of our rare guests who's told me that you've thought quite a great deal about your own funeral. How does it look in your head? Have you fantasized about the look of it or where it is, or tell us a little bit about that?
I thought about it as a kid. I kind of fantasize about my death a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I always have.
How do you think you're going to die?
Based on what you told us earlier, probably on a cherry picker.
Yeah, well, I've had a few near-death experiences. I once fell on the train tracks in the underground, and a train came like 2 minutes later. I managed to like climb out.
How did you fall on the tracks in the underground?
I just took a step forward that wasn't there. Like that scene in Indiana Jones when he walks on the invisible bridge. I was reading a poem that was printed on the underground, and I was sure there was another step to take. And I just took that step and just went flat on my face.
They didn't think about that when they commissioned those poems, did they?
No.
I've actually fantasized quite a lot about what it would be like to fall on the tracks, and would I try and get back up straight away, or would I hide in the little pit? What did you do? Weren't you afraid of being electrocuted?
I remember coming to realization that I was down there.
Yeah.
It all happened in such a flash, and I was like,
I couldn't stop believe laughing.
I wasn't hurt.
Right.
Like I hadn't hurt myself at all.
Right.
I just managed to sort of straddle the central thing, but
which is the electrified bit, isn't it? Yeah.
And I'm like, this is so wrong. What's happening here?
Covered in shit.
Yes. Well, I didn't know that at the time, but yeah, black everywhere, all over my face. When I finally got home, I was covered.
Yeah.
You're doing blackface again.
Yes. and I was just like, this is so wrong. Get out. And I think I just started to feel the breeze. You know, when the train's coming, just
that
first breeze. And I was, because I knew the train was coming, because I was waiting for it, and
so it wasn't 2 minutes, it was closer than 2 minutes.
I grabbed the central thing to untangle my legs. And thing is, I remember getting an electric shock, but not like a big electric shock, just like a kind of...
Oh, wow.
And I remember telling one of my friends who used to work in the underground, I went, nah. They shut off the electrics, which I was like, well, I felt something. Maybe that was psychosomatic, or I don't know. But he also said maybe there'd be residual leftover electricity.
Because if it was on, I think you would have died, surely.
But the adrenaline and the panic, I was kind of having an electric shock from the experience.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that no one offered to help me. There were it was rush hour at Turnpike Lane, and there were like 40 people, and they were all looking at me like, "Whoa, someone's fallen on the tracks." And I was, I climbed up, and they were all staring at me like I'm an idiot.
Nobody helped you.
And I looked at them all, and I said, "I can't believe none of you have offered to help me." Or see if I'm all right.
Yeah. Maybe they're in shock too, or maybe they don't want to get electrocuted too. I think it's probably shock.
That's not cool.
It's probably shock.
And then the train came, and someone by that point was like, maybe you should go upstairs and get some help, mate. And I was like, no, I'm going home. I want to get out of here like now. I'm getting on this train.
But you look like a little chimney sweep on your way home.
I tell you what, it made me feel amazing that night.
Euphoria.
I really had a kind of, I remember I had the day off work the next day. I worked in a school, and the next day was my day off.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Because I only work 4 days a week, and I just had the best day. You know, like, I just really, everything was super mindful. Like, I was like looking at everything in a way. And yeah, I've had a few other near-death experiences.
Yeah, I've always imagined the euphoria of, I'm addicted to like plane crashes and disaster days. I've always imagined the euphoria of being in a plane crash, almost to the point where I kind of slightly wish I could be in one, but only if I knew that I'd be able
You'd
to
make
survive.
The news.
No, that I'd be able to survive.
Fucking hell, to survive it would be gnarly. But I always think about plane crashes when I'm on an aeroplane. Mm. I always catastrophize because I always think, well, if you expect the worst, I kind of expect the worst but hope for the best. Because I'm like, you're going to die. That's the only inevitable. Death and taxes, and even taxes you can get around. And you're going to die. It's just a matter of, it's a matter of when and how. And I always wondered, like, if you could choose one, if you want to know when you die or how you die, which would you choose? Because I think when would drive you
When's
mad.
Better.
You'd be like, what? I've only got 4 more days. Like, how? And but if you knew how, like, obviously it
would.
And if
you would you not rather have know that you only had 4 days, or so you could, like, not fuck about, you know? Just
no,
go
but if you knew.
No,
there'd be the heat would be on. What would you do if you
if
only
you
had
knew
4 days
though,
left to live?
I'd go wild. I'd just, like, stealing Lamborghinis and
would
just
you?
Going.
Or would you go and see the 20 people you love the most and kiss them on the face?
Get on Zoom. It's fine.
If you knew how, couldn't you? If you knew how, couldn't you just not do that thing?
Obviously, that's why it wouldn't work. Because if it's like I get eaten by a shark, I'm never going swimming again.
David, I'm not trying to ruin the thing. It's a very, very important, deep question. However, fuck you if you do choose that and it just turns out that's the one day a shark can jump 6 miles and eat you in the middle of Oxford Street. Yeah. So your funeral, though, your funeral. Have you got a vision for it? Like,
yeah, weirdly,
you
in
said
my
you're
mind,
not religious.
I'm not religious, but in my mind, it's in a church.
So is mine. So
that's weird because that fantasy started when I was 8 years old and or whatever age, and just imagining almost being there, like I'm a ghost at the funeral, like, this is amazing. Like, and in a weird way, I sort of have it as this, I grew up kind of idolizing, whether it's Picasso or Freddie Mercury, like big characters. And I imagine that it would be a kind of fun a time. In my mind, it's kind of a party.
Yeah, in the actual service. So, like, music that's important to you, kind of thing, and people dancing.
Oh, definitely music. That's another thing. And this is weird because one of the paintings in my exhibition is called Saturday Sun, which is the title of a Nick Drake song. Mm-hmm. Fantastic song, beautiful. It's just
great song.
Oh, it's the sound of sunlight. It's so beautiful. And I always have said, like, for 15 years, that song's going to be played at my funeral.
Great.
And when it comes on, I often say to my girlfriend, this is a song that's going to be played at my funeral. It's like reminding her. And she's like, why are you always talking about it? That's why it's funny when I read through about what you guys were talking about. Mm-hmm. Some of the questions I already, yeah, I've got a kind of playlist for my funeral.
Well, this is your document now, so that, you know, when you do die, Lily or whoever else is around, oh, Ziggy.
So depressing, isn't it? You should have a dark meter where if it gets too dark, you press a button and it, like...
We love dark.
Wait, the dark meter got destroyed first 10 minutes of this podcast, but it was brilliant. Fucking the best chat we've had, yeah, for sure. Any more tracks then? That's a great track. Any other ones?
Well,
kind of Desert Island Discs for your funeral, David. This is your opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, that's putting me on the spot. I know that one for sure, but sometimes I'll be listening to a song and I'll think in the moment, this is for a different vibe. Like, sometimes a party song.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I've yeah, there's lots.
You don't YMCA?
You don't have to name it.
I had to... my brother and I and my stepdad had to choose the playlist for my mum's.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting because some of those songs, I now listen to it, and in a way it's kind of ruined it because I can't, like some of the songs, if I hear it, I'll cry, right? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a little story which is related to that. I went to the dentist last year because I had a problem getting, I had a filling and stuff, mm-hmm. and they really couldn't do what they wanted to, so they kept giving me more and more painkillers. So I was fucked. I left this dentist place like super stoned, mm-hmm. and it was very sunny, and I went home and I was listening to this whatever playlist, and as I was walking down my road, two songs came on. Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run, which mentions my mum's name, Wendy, three times in it. And then Crosby, Stills and Nash, Our House, which was, I think, my mum and my dad's song when they were first together. These two songs came on and it really made me want to cry. And I remember holding in the tears and getting home, and I walked in and I had a kind of panic attack with my girlfriend. I was in tears and not being able to talk. And she was like, what's wrong? What's happened? What's wrong? And I was having this moment of, these songs had triggered for me. I'm going to lose my mum and my dad. There was that in it as well, but definitely my mum. And this is the
dying?
April. She died in the July. This is the April before.
It's like a premonition.
And I had this proper meltdown, very unexpected, hyper panic attack kind of tears and stuff. And my girlfriend was like, it's all right. Like, you don't need to worry about that now. I'm like, she's fine and everything's fine. You're just reacting to the feeling. And it's all right. And it was sunny, but it was beautiful. My girlfriend was pregnant. So I was in this like hyper, oh my God, people are going to die and people are going to be born. And I can't quite deal with it. And these two songs were the catalyst.
Yeah.
And
wow.
The mad thing is she did then die, 5 months later. And the song Born to Run was the song we carried her coffin out of the funeral. And it wasn't her favorite song. It just happened that it... Yeah, it was really mad. So that song now is like...
Are you traumatised to ever go to the dentist again?
I haven't been to the dentist since then, actually.
But it is amazing how music's intrinsically linked with memories and, you know, huge important things that you...
Music and smell.
And smell, exactly.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh. Certain types of food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And inanimate objects. Like, there's certain
mementos
or things that before were just nothing. A handwritten birthday card. Suddenly, whoa.
Of course. The closest I can get to is, I definitely sometimes still smell on the street the perfume that the girl my first girlfriend was wearing the first night I kissed her. And I couldn't tell you what it is. I've never had a girlfriend since who's worn it, so I can tell you what it is. But sometimes you walk past someone in the
cloud
street
of nostalgia.
And it just makes you remember Lewis Rhodes's party circa 1995 or 1994
in
Surrey somewhere. Yeah, mad. Completely mad. David, who do you envisage? So you seem to have quite a good vision of your funeral. Who do you envisage being there? And do you envisage it being a big affair or a kind of more of a close personal family and friends type vibe? If it's a party,
I imagine it being like, actually thinking that I said it was in a church. I don't now. I just remember the image in my head as a kid it was.
Yeah,
but
me too,
actually
me too.
Now I think it would be outside in a that's to say if I'm not if I don't die in the wintertime, that would be cold for everyone. It's difficult to find a venue for a funeral. It really is. And if it's in the wintertime, it's bad. But in my mind, in the idyllic situation would be like in a field and a weeping willow. And I don't know. But lots of people, like a little festival, like a little party with a bonfire and an effigy of me. They burn an effigy of me.
That's good.
No, that's really good. We haven't had any effigies.
I mean, that's mad. That's like a Viking. It could be a Viking funeral in Margate. Build a boat, put my body on it. set it on fire. The dress code is what the fuck ever.
Nice. Mm.
Fancy dress if you want. You can come dressed as a fucking...
I'm coming as Mr. Blobby.
Tinky Winky. Yeah, Mr. Blobby. Yeah. Everyone.
I'm coming as Mr. Bean after your tube incident, for sure. And presumably then, so if it's either on a Viking, but that sounds really cool, on a boat would be great, a Viking boat or kind of a summer festival, then the wake is kind of all involved as well, like the party, the after party, like you just described it before. So I'm getting vibes, big piss up, everybody just tries to get as drunk as possible, remembers you in the nicest possible way.
Yeah, and smoking some really good weed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And is
yeah.
your estate leaving enough money for that weed?
Oh, I'm sure. I'll be able to sort everyone out a few doobies. But I think that would be important. Very good wine.
Yeah.
And cocktails.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to have some cocktails.
Yeah, you're very good at cooking, David, and you're obviously a food lover. You know, you've cooked some amazing meals for me. What are we going to be eating?
Very important. The spread.
Me. Cupcakes with my ashes sprinkled on the top.
Definitely. That would be unique.
Is that vegan?
No, I'm not vegan. But if there's something being burnt to a dust,
if we're in Margate,
I say I'm making an exception for your
dust.
If
we're in Margate, surely we have to pretend
I'd be the
vegan.
First meat you'd eat
in like 10 years.
Yeah,
I've never eaten meat actually.
Food, what would it be? I mean, just crisps, crisps and dips.
Yeah,
yeah.
Loads of tamarind salata.
Which crisps though? Because it's
salt and vinegar. Well, no. I love salt and vinegar. I'm saying that because today I had salt and vinegar. I've been in quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's the one thing I've craved is crisps. It's weird.
Do you like salt and vinegar squares? They're like banging.
Hold on. Being in quarantine doesn't mean you can't have crisps.
No, but I get forgetting. It means you have to get people to go to the shops for you.
And your girlfriend's not buying you crisps.
I got an order, but I just kept forgetting. You don't. When you're right.
That was almost huge COVID news. But if you're in quarantine, you can't eat crisps. That was nearly an exclusive.
It's miserable enough. You need crisps.
I just kept getting the pang for salt and vinegar crisps.
Oh, yeah, great.
I think I was just lacking salt and vinegar.
But bear in mind, this is your funeral, so you get to choose. Are we talking like posh? We're going kettle chips.
Sushi.
Or are we talking
sushi?
Oh, so if, sushi food, but in terms of the crisps, is it posh kettle chips or is it like, you know, is it Walkers or is it chipsticks?
What are your favorite crisps? McCoy's salt and vinegar.
So salty. The rich ones.
A lot for your bite in McCoy's.
McCoy's Ridge, absolutely agree. But it's your funeral, so I want to pitch for Disco's salt and vinegar. Have you ever had them? So salty,
they melt your mouth.
They're too salty.
Too salty.
There's a little Disco in your mouth, like too much.
Fair enough, David. It's your funeral. No Discos.
They give you ulcers. Those things.
A Disco at the funeral, but no Discos.
Yeah. Right. Disco, no Discos. David, we ask everyone this question: what do you want written on your gravestone?
Well. I've used a lot of mantras in my work, and for a long time, a mantra that I used was keep smiling. And that is the immediate one that I think of. But there are others. There's a kind of a smorgasbord of mantras lovely. That could be chosen from. And I was actually going to write in the mural today, relax, the universe is expanding. That's become a kind of mantra of mine, and I really love that.
Yeah.
So relax, the universe is expanding, because it kind of makes light of or trivializes this incredible fact that above you is infinite space, and there's so much unknown that it's kind of like, hey, relax, because you don't know the half of it. Like the idea of death is so beyond us. It's the one thing that no one can agree on. That's pretty much every war, if it's involves religion, comes down to the argument of like what happens after you die. And I used to think, if I die, maybe they could send my body into space. That would be like my ideal funeral, like a rocket ship. A bit like Hunter S. Thompson. They shot his ashes. But actually my body in a little rocket, thinking that maybe some distant civilization will find me and make me their deity. But or just your ashes shot into space.
That is an option for you, David, in this podcast. Is that what you want to happen?
I don't know. Isn't there a service where you can have your ashes made into a diamond?
Yeah, there is. You can have them made into...
But everyone could do a bump of my ashes at my funeral.
Yeah.
You have to. It doesn't matter who you are.
We
if you're 6 years old or 66 years old, you're doing a bump of David's ashes.
I really like that.
I had a good idea on what happens when we die the other day.
Go on.
If you want to hear it. You know, like a lot of people say that they see this light at the end of the tunnel. Somebody came up with this idea that that light is actually another hospital room, and it's you being born again.
Yeah.
into a new body as a baby, and the reason babies cry is because they realize, fuck, I've just been that person and now I'm this person and I'm going to lose everyone I just had. But then babies slowly forget their past life. And that's why some children remember past lives, some don't, because you're being born again into a new hospital room. It's still obviously a load of bollocks, but it's kind of a nice idea.
The light at the end of the tunnel is actually a vagina opening.
into a new world.
I'm desperate for that to be true. I would love for that to be true.
Imagine, yeah.
Honestly, in fact, I'm happy to make myself believe that that's true, because that gives me some kind of feeling like there's a point to all of this.
Okay, that's true. That's definitely true.
That's true. David, such an amazing guest. Thank you so much. One last question, again, that we ask everybody. How do you want to be remembered?
That's a really difficult thing to put into words. But yeah, just with love and smiles and authenticity. I want to be remembered as really meaning what I did,
yeah, and being yourself, known for being yourself and who you were, and delivering even professionally examples of what you're about and who you are and not faking it, you know.
That's really a mad question. I'm going to be thinking about that for the next week or even the next years, because that is a
during those late nights while Ziggy can't sleep.
Just fondly, don't you? You just want to be remembered well. That's a big question.
I think anyone who knows you're pretty authentic. You know bullshit. You're pretty straight up and very. You have a very strong character, so I don't think you've got any worries there.
I don't.
Yay!
Yeah,
I did it.
Yeah, David, mate, you've been a brilliant guest once again. So it's at David Chillinglaw on Instagram to find his art and stuff. Google him. Look out for his murals. Look out for his work. Honestly, me and Sam can both attest it's really amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. Guys, please do subscribe to It's Your Funeral. Drop us a comment and a rating. We'd really appreciate that. It's good for the algorithm. Also, once again, do send us any of your funny funeral or death stories. The email address is poditsyourfuneral@gmail.com. That's poditsyourfuneral@gmail.com. Follow @VomCruise on Instagram and listen to my other podcast, Almost Famous. And once again, thanks so much for listening, and we'll speak to you next time. Goodbye.
Guten Nacht.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.